Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Generations of humanity, yet we have evolved not at all. Bound like animals to the laws of physics, shamed before the universe. And in all of history, only one man has stood to say that he will dictate what is and is not possible in this world. I speak of this man. He has broken reality.
Oh my God. I love watching the 4th of July Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
And the gods shine down on us now. And the gods shine down on us still. Because of him alone. Because of him alone. The Nathan's famous 4th of July champion of the world. Yowie Chester!
George Shea is the best. I mean, like, I would listen to him read the phone book. He's so entertaining.
Are you ready to sip from the volcano? Are you ready to make love to the dragon, Brooklyn? And count it down with me from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go!
Oh, man. It's just so entertaining. So, yeah, it's a complete blowout. I mean, Joey Chestnut, nobody challenged him for real.
Here's the count.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Put down your hot dog. Oh, my glory.
Oh, my glory.
The once and future king, the boy king, who has grown to fulfill a destiny of greatness. Look on his works, ye mighty, and despair, for he has surpassed the kings of Egypt. With 62 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes for his 16th win, I give you the number one ranked eater in the world, Joey Chestnut!
All right, quick pop quiz, Candy. Would you rather be a pharaoh of Egypt or Joey Chestnut?
Pharaoh of Egypt.
Yeah, although I think today, you know, the amenities are a little bit better, but okay, fair enough.
Dude, I feel so bad, and they keep showing the replays, and
it's just shoving.
What does that announcer do in regular world?
Oh, George, you know? I think this is what he does. I mean, I don't know what else.
He only does the hot dog stuff?
No, he probably does other. Oh, somebody asked a question. World eating competition. So,
oh, okay. Golly, he's so great.
He's the co-founder and the chairman of Major League Eating.
Oh, well, he's one of the best announcers, except for you.
He oversees about 70 eating contests a year, including the hot dogs, but other eating contests. I guess he's the guy for that.
I'd rather be that guy.
You know, I wonder is, you know, folks like Joey Chestnut, the number one competitive eater in the world. So he's listening to George Shea do this 70 times a year for 16 years. Like, it's gotta, you think at some point you just kind of like, eh. You know, probably not. It's probably pretty exciting to have yourself introduced that way.
What a roller coaster emotionally. They told us it was canceled. We weren't sure if we were going to eat today. And I'm just happy. It's 4th of July, and I got to eat some hot dogs and get away.
And what about the timing problems caused by the fact that, you know, they had the weather delay. They thought they were going to cancel the contest, and then it was suddenly on.
It's weird because I try to time everything out. So not only am I empty, I'm amped up. And it all got, everybody got messed up, and it affected me, but, I feel great. I got leftover room, so I'll be having some beers later.
Oh, my man. I got leftover room. I got a couple of pockets over here in the stomach. It's a timed contest, right? It's what you can do in 10 minutes, not the maximum you can shove in your maw. 7:14 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is very cool. We had a couple of other things go on yesterday. Of course, one of which was we had the fireworks show downtown, which was fantastic, put on this year by the Chamber and by Pensacola Young Professionals, and it was just spectacular. It always is. 17 minutes and all kinds of fun, and I put a video up of just the finale up on our Facebook page so you can see it if you didn't happen to see it. But they shot off the port, instead of shooting it off of the barge. And but it was just great. I mean, it's always neat. Neat to see downtown, neat to see all the people out, the police and the kids and the sparklers and the other fireworks. And then, you know, we all, I hate to be the guy who mentioned the small thing, but I was disappointed. I know the bridge is not officially open yet, okay, but I was really hoping that they'd have it lit up.
And they didn't?
No.
Oh.
Opportunity missed. So, oh, well, what can you say? But the show itself was just, I mean, of course, it was fantastic. And you get to that end part. And it's just, you know, you always think like, this is the finale. Not yet. This is the finale. Not yet. This is the finale. My advice to people is, you know when it's the finale? You'll know when it's the finale. And I love that, too. I just love being with all the people and hearing them be happy and just all of it. It's such a great thing. 716 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Aw, and no finale for traffic, it looks like, which is good. We're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. We had it was very, very slow earlier. I-10 westbound, mile marker 24 and 25. Stalled car fire. It looks like those have been moved down to one lane. It looks like they're all moving just fine right now. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, if you would, check text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. The other news note that was kind of fun yesterday, and I stumbled on this purely by accident. I was watching my Cardinals play the Marlins and get destroyed 15-2. You know, that was not so much fun. But all of a sudden in the fifth inning, the center fielder for the Marlins got hurt diving for a ball. And who's that? Joe Davis. That's right. And, you know, I'm just listening to the game kind of casually because I'm not really caring at this point. It's already 7-0. We're not going to win. We look terrible. But I'm listening, and all of a sudden I hear something that makes my ears perk up.
So Dane Meyers checks into the game. He was brought up from AAA Jacksonville yesterday. This is his major league debut.
I always love a good major league debut. That's not what caught my attention.
He's out of Rice University and started the season at AA Pensacola.
Oh!
They are the Wahoos.
Nice! So he gets brought into the game in the fifth inning. He actually got called up the day before when Jazz Chisholm Jr. got put on the injured reserve list. So he was at the Wahoos in the beginning of the season. Then he was at AAA Jacksonville. And he got called up on Monday and because of an injury. And then on Tuesday in the game, the center fielder got injured. And he got thrown in as defense, which is very unusual. Typically, your first game, the first time you debut in Major Leagues is going to be typically late innings. And it's a pinch hit situation. They just want to get your feet wet. And it's a good situation away because it was a blowout. But still, center field is no joke. You got to really play. But they put him in center field as defense. And then they put him into bat. His first at-bat, he struck out. But then in his second bat, with one out and a man on second in the bottom of the seventh inning.
And especially for relief guys, that's a big problem. As Dane Meyers has his first big league hit. And he's going to have his first RBI, too. The kid goes the other way, and boy, oh boy, what a moment for him. Look at that smile.
Oh, man.
The fish are swimming. They enjoy an 8-0 lead, and that ball will go to the trophy case.
Slicing single to right, puts him on base, gets his first RBI in the bottom of the eighth.
Full count for Meyers, and he smokes a single into center field.
Pretty good.
Marlins just keep on keeping on. First and third, a two-hit game for Meyers in his big league debut.
2-for-3 in his big league debut, gets an RBI. All these, you know, they save your first hit and RBI. So for the trophy case, in front of friends and family, just kind of cool.
How do you describe the emotion surrounding achieving your dream?
It was cool. Unfortunately, I came in for JD, who got hurt, but I hope he's doing well. But just coming in, being able to play my game relaxed. The guys in the clubhouse have welcomed me, so it's easy to go out there and play my game, and it was fun.
I love that his, like, second day on the job, he's already referring to Joe Davis as JD. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, he probably spring trained with them and things like that as well, but yeah.
You mentioned, hey, you know what? Got that first strikeout out of the way. After that, your first big league hit,
yeah.
Your first big league run scored. Your first big league RBI,
yeah.
How much more confident did you feel in those next couple of bats?
pretty confident. I mean, I try and be confident for every at-bat, but getting a little bit of success definitely helps.
Definitely does help. It's nice to get it all out of the way. You got your first strikeout. You got your first RBI. You got your first hit or second hit, too, as well.
What will you remember most about this day?
Probably just having my family and friends here. I got a good group up there, and that's my support system, so for them to be able to see this is awesome.
Oh, man, that's just cool. I love this kid. I don't know him except for today, but like I said, playing with the Wahoos earlier this season, so you could have been, you know, sitting 10 feet from him earlier this season watching him play here in Pensacola, and now he's playing in the big leagues. I love this sport. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This Blue Angels history is presented by Service Matters Realty.
During winter training at El Centro in February of 1987, the Blue Angels would lose their first F-A-18 Hornet. Lieutenant Commander Dave Anderson was flying his number 5 plane on a routine practice flight when he experienced a double-engine flameout, a rare and often fatal occurrence in which both of a plane's engines simultaneously shut down. But Anderson managed to eject from the plane safely and was not injured. 2 months later, the Blue Angels flew their first public performance in the new F-A-18s at the Marine Corps Air Station, Yuma, Arizona. It was during the 1990 season at an air show in Grand Forks, North Dakota, that the Blue Angels flew their 3,000th public flight demonstration. The 1992 season saw the Blue Angels fly to Europe for the fourth time in history. But this was a European tour like no other had been, because these naval aviators would perform air shows in countries they previously would have visited only under combat conditions. With the fall of the Iron Curtain, the Blue Angels were invited to fly in the formerly communist bloc nations of Russia, Romania, and Bulgaria. As the team crossed over into Russian airspace, they were met by MiG fighter jets and escorted to Kubinka Air Force Base outside Moscow. According to the pilots, the highlight of their trip came in the days preceding the air show in Moscow. Both Russian pilots and the Blue Angel pilots participated in exchange flights where the Russians were taken up in the F-A-18s and the Blue Angels were taken up in Russian fighter jets. It was the first time any American pilot had flown a Russian jet in the skies over Moscow. And though flying in the back seat, the Blue Angels were given control of the stick and got the chance to actually pilot the Russian jets. It was an experience these aviators would never forget. Other European countries visited on this tour were Sweden, Finland, Spain, Italy, and the United Kingdom. More than 1 million people turned out to see the Blue Angels during this 4-week tour of Europe. I'll be back with more after this.
We love our military and first responders. Hi, I'm Suzanne Morgan with Service Matters Realty and Property Management, where we believe in doing more. We have a program designed specifically for military and first responders. It's called Your Service Matters. At closing, eligible buyers will receive money back based on the sale price of the home. Since 2015, we've given back over $230,000. Find out more. Go to servicematters.re.com.
Is flying with the Blue Angels any more dangerous than flying elsewhere in the Navy? Find out in the next edition of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's summertime, and that means it's barbecue time. So for the best selection of meats, it's Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. From baby back ribs to Wagyu brisket, pork butts and shoulders, to chicken and all types of exotic meats to put on the grill. At Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, you'll find meat rubs and spices, as well as a large selection of fine wine, cheeses, and great deli items to add to your summer cookout fun. Call ahead for your sandwich pickups, too. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. It's a great place to meet up and wine all you want. Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the west side of Pensacola.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast. To all of the queens who are fighting alone, baby, you're not dancing on your own. Can't live without me.
Good morning, 725 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's Circle and Arrival Day for the Blue Angels. That means that they come in and check out their sight lines and make sure they've got all their visual cues for all of the things that they're going to do starting tomorrow for the practice that they have at 2 o'clock. Then, of course, for the full show dress rehearsals on Friday starting at noon with the civilian acts going until 2, and then the Blue Angels fly at 2 to about 2:40 or 2:45, depending. And then Saturday, of course, the big day is when we have the full Blue Angels show with all the civilian acts. I will be out at the beach broadcasting along with Tammy Martin starting at 11 a.m., and then at noon, Greg McWhorter and I will talk you through 2 hours of Blue Angels talk. If you have questions you want me to ask him, always feel free to text them into me at 437-1620, and I will ask them as much as I can. It's funny how 2 hours goes really, really quickly whenever I'm talking with Greg. We have such a good time at that. And then, of course, the Blues fly it, too. Let's see. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is it's I-10 westbound was just a big old mess this morning. It looks like that has been completely clear, not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like I-10 in both directions, I-10 eastbound and westbound, doing just fine. 98 not showing any delays this morning. And certainly if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, by all means, if you would, text it in, 437-1620. News Radio, 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. And by the way, I didn't mention it, but I know most of you know this, but maybe some of you don't, or you're new to the area or whatever. That's fine. You can listen not just to the conversation with Greg and me on Saturday from 12 to 2, but then from 2 to 3, we carry the Blue Angels narration and music. So if you're down beach or on your boat or, you know, just somewhere else other than right at Pensacola Central Beach, then, you know, you can hear all of the narration and the music along with the Blue Angels show just by tuning in to News Radio 92.3 or on the app. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Israel has now pulled troops out of part of the occupied West Bank after a days-long incursion that left over a dozen Palestinians dead. Israel says the operation was targeting a militant stronghold in Jenin that was used to launch attacks on Israelis. Minutes from the Federal Reserve's June policy meeting are expected to show support for more rate hikes to bring down inflation. Those minutes will be released this afternoon. Fed Chair Jerome Powell has indicated another 0.5% point bump is being considered. And Taylor Swift's Eras Tour may be the highest grossing artist tour of all time. So far, it's made over $1 billion in ticket sales. It's expected to eclipse Elton John's Farewell Tour.
Wow. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 728 on News Radio 92.3. If you're South Korean, you got a year or possibly 2 years younger this week. It's so weird. What? Yeah, in South Korea, so I didn't know this, but I thought it was a fascinating story. They count your age differently than how we typically think of it because, you know, the way it works here is, right, if you're born on March the 3rd, okay, on the following March the 3rd, you would be
a year older.
That's right. Not in Korea. You're a year old when you're born. You start at one. So a kid is
technically
a year old.
Wouldn't you start at 9 months?
Well, I'm just saying
or
what they
whatever.
Do. I'm not judging. I'm not evaluating. I'm just saying that that's how they look at it.
No, you're not.
Part
judging.
Of it is the idea okay. that you're a human before that. Okay, but the traditional system of counting has them as a year when you're born, and then here's where it's extra unusual is a lot of times you don't get an extra year on your birthday, you get an extra year on New Year's Day.
Okay.
So, if you were born on, say, Christmas, okay, you'd be one. And then 6 days later, you'd or 7 days later, you'd be 2 years old. Yeah. So Koreans, when they have to go other places and get asked their age or tell people their age, it's this complicated, well, what do you mean by that? You know, exactly. So they're changing the system to be, you know, what we would think of as normal, but of course they think of as normal as something else. But you have like it's the international system, the counting age system, which is years after your birth, and then the Korean age system, which is starting at one and then also adding it. So just, you know, which age do you mean? What's my age again? Asked Blink-182. Well, it depends. In Korea, you know, it could be a lot of different ages.
Yeah, concentrate on your UFOs.
So people, you know, I guess, you know, some women who would have been like 31 are now going to be 29 again.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The 40-year-old suspect accused of a mass shooting in Philadelphia appears for a judge this morning. Fox 29, Steve Kelly.
This accused killer will be here at police headquarters. It'll be done by closed circuit TV, which is not anything special for this case. That's the way it's been working since the COVID virus. So the hearing will be at the Criminal Justice Center where we will be, and it's on schedule for 8:30, meaning first thing as court opens after the long weekend.
Cops say the heavily armed shooter went on a rampage, gunning down five people, wounding two kids. Police in D.C. call it a targeted drive-by shooting early this morning in our nation's capital. The manhunt underway at this hour for the person or persons responsible for wounding nine people, including kids. So far, so good in our nation's skies. According to FlightAware, just over 80 flights canceled within, into, or out of the U.S. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it's 82 degrees, partly cloudy skies, absolutely beautiful morning out there right now. We're about 1 week now into Florida's new permitless carry gun laws. We are learning that so far there have been no issues with people mistakenly believing they can now open carry in Escambia County.
I'm not aware of a single call where an individual called to complain on someone about since July, since the law changed. Okay. And in fact, I don't recall any over the last year or two, really.
Yeah, that's Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says his biggest concern is somebody trying to concealed carry but not using a proper holster or just carrying improperly and having it fall out. But so far, that hasn't happened either. The new permitless carry law allows people to concealed carry a gun without going through the state's permitting process, but there are still some rules to that as far as guns still being prohibited in some government buildings such as schools or at city council or county commission meetings. Escambia County deputies say they've arrested a man with an organized drug dealing kit in a toolbox last night. That happened after a traffic stop on Kenmore and Highway 29. And deputies say they stopped a driver that wasn't wearing a seatbelt and had an improperly registered vehicle. A canine officer then alerted to the vehicle during a search of the car. Deputies say they found a organized drug dealer kit in a toolbox. Inside that toolbox, deputies say they found scales, smoking pipes, fentanyl, meth, packaging baggies, and needles. 52-year-old James Davis was arrested. He remains in the Escambia County Jail. Well, if you put your garbage can out for pickup and it's still there and full, it's because ECUA collection routes are running a day late this week because of the Independence Day holiday. That applies to both residential and commercial routes. Fishermen who like to dip a line in the Destin area have a new reason to celebrate. There's a new 125-foot artificial reef deployed just south of the Destin Pass. That new reef placed in water about 78 feet deep. If you want its exact coordinates, check our Facebook page. We'll have it up there here in the next few minutes. Pensacola man accused of working as an unlicensed contractor in Santa Rosa County. 54-year-old Andrew Gormley was arrested on Saturday. He's facing multiple charges, including working as an unlicensed contractor and also larceny. He's since been released from the Santa Rosa County Jail on $27,500 bond. Well, for the 4th of July holiday, beach safety leaders in Alabama say it was all hands on deck for them. They wanted to make sure the Gulf waters were as protected as they could be.
Somebody gets caught in trouble or they're far out, there's an extra eye in the sky. So whatever that be that we deem necessary, that they're going to respond to that.
And Channel 3 talked with Gulf Shores Beach Safety Chief Joe Ethan Phillips. He says they had UTVs, trucks, and even a helicopter out patrolling the waters. The helicopter is staffed with lifeguards. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
This brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. Chase Gregory Garden taking a look downtown. All clear. No slowdowns on Cervantes Bayfront Parkway. Also checking in without delays. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text those in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now for a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms today, especially in the afternoon, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. We're going to be seeing that rain chance continue as we head into the end of the week. Thursday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 93. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 82 in Pensacola, 85 in Gulf Breeze, and 80 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is set to visit China later this week for a meeting with senior officials there. But in the meantime, the two countries' frosty relationship on trade and many other things will continue. Now China has imposed export limits on the two key metals used in computer chips and solar chips. Those restrictions will go into effect in August. Is it a one-off or a sign of things to come? In a new earnings report, one of Apple's most important suppliers revealed a plunge in revenue amid weakness in its smartphone segment. Foxconn is the world's largest contract electronics manufacturer, making household items like the iPhone and Sony's PlayStation video game console. But Foxconn's revenue fell by 11% in the last quarter as demand for consumer electronics declined. The company is confident, though, projecting better earnings for the third quarter. Back to work on Wall Street after yesterday's holiday break, and the market will try to continue its winning ways, though futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's renovation, and updates, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. It's July 5th, the day after Independence Day, and joining us by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Hope you had a good 4th. Thanks for having me.
I had a great 4th. Big success for the city last night, at least in my opinion. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. The fireworks movement, I'm interested to get in the office today and see how everything went with moving the fireworks on the port. We appreciate Martin Marietta allowing us to do that. And I thought the just visually, just getting it closer and it seeming to be even more in the action than when the typical barge. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was
a great point.
It was funny because I have always gotten in the habit of we just go park on 9th and then walk down and at Bayfront, my son and I. And so, you know, the music plays and then we're waiting and then the fireworks start and everybody's like, oh, over there, you know, 45-degree turn. Right, it's all good. Right. No, but it was really fantastic.
Exactly.
One thing I wanted to ask you about is there's been this local ordinances bill that got passed and signed into law by the governor. In prior years, this was touted as the preemption to end all preemptions. I viewed it as the end or the death of local ordinances, and I know a lot of other people did as well. But, you know, it kind of had some tweaks over time. This year, the way I understand it is it says things like you have to do a business impact for every new regulation. And if a business says that this regulation is unjustified, they can take you to court. And it gets put on hold until the hearing on a rocket docket gets heard. And then even if you do win, it's like 45 days until you can start enforcing it again. If you lose, you have to pay their attorney's fees up to $50,000. I'm very concerned about the chilling effect this will have on local laws, but you tell me, what's your thought about this?
No, look, I agree. If the goal here is to have less government, if that's the argument, is to say, hey, no overreach by government, wouldn't this just create more government? I mean, in other words, what business couldn't take issue with? It could be an environmental ordinance. It could be whatever the topic may be. How are you going to be able to delineate between whether it impacts a business or not? I understand that sometimes decisions made in communities can be frustrating. I was a business that went through COVID. You know, if anybody can relate to how the government was going to tell you how to operate, it's me. You know, at the end of the day, at some point you have to elect people and trust them to be making the best decisions for their city. Whether you agree with them or you don't, you're not always going to agree. But this, I believe this will really hamper our ability to modernize our ordinances, our city, to be able to make changes as time and things evolve. It's going to make it difficult to do. And look, if you're in my seat or in the city council seat with this, what's going to happen? I mean, we're going to be a little trigger shy to do something that we think is good for the community because it might cost us $50,000 of attorney fees at some point. It's easy for me to say I'm in the position to be proposing these things that it would be difficult, but I don't know that this makes us a better city or makes us a better community. That's what I would say to that.
Yeah, and same concerns. And you know, one of the concerns I have is, I've read a lot of the city charter. I think I've read all the city charter under the Charter Review Commission the stuff that we've gone through with all of that. And I don't see anywhere in our charter where it gives businesses the power to temporarily veto ordinances. Like, they can participate in the process. They can show up and testify. They can public comment. They can lobby their city council members. But this idea that they get to veto ordinances or at least temporarily veto them is weird to me. Also, if this was a great idea, okay, why not apply the same rule to the Florida legislature itself? And of course, it does not apply to the Florida legislature itself. A business cannot object to one of their regulations and put it on hold for enforcement pending the outcome of a judicial review. Like, it just, anyway, I'm frustrated with every historical development in this law, and it's less obnoxious than previous versions. But anyway, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, look, and look, I want to add too. Show me an ordinance that 100% of a community's ever agreed on.
Right.
I mean, just show me one. Meaning. Even if it's 80-20 or 85-15 most times, all it takes is one business to not like it, or they don't want this next to their office, or they think it's – if they just perceive that it's going to have a negative impact. I mean, that could be very, very damaging to the growth of the community, I believe. So, we're in agreement on that. I mean, I have some real concerns. And, I mean, yeah, it's all relative, certainly better than what I read last year, for sure. And, again, I'm still learning the nuances of what's been proposed this year, but – definitely concerning.
I'm kind of curious if you have any updates for us on you got a lot of projects that you've put requests in for funding, you know, everything from Hollis T. Williams to the Pensacola Motor Lodge and some other things as well. Do we know anything on where we are with getting these funding requests approved?
We did have an on-site visit from DEO, which is now the Commerce. They changed that name now under Alex Kelly, who runs the Commerce Department, I guess, or is the Commerce Secretary for the state of Florida. But that they had a visit here on, I believe it was June 20th, They went and looked at all five of the six projects we proposed had kind of passed that filtering process, so that that was encouraging. And really, we expect to hear something any day now on potential awards. And again, you're talking about a proposed $32 million for Hollis T. Williams, what I believe to be a generational project for our community, for our region, about $10 million proposed for the port, $5 million proposed for the renovation and modernization of Fricker Center. And then we have a couple others. One, you saw the Pensacola Motor Lodge come up. That,
right.
That's actually been part of a $2.8 million grant ask, as well as $5 million for the potential to help with demolition at Baptist Hospital, the old Baptist Hospital. So really all five of these things have some real generational value to us as a city. And we've worked really, really hard. Our entire team, and you think about how many departments that covers when you're trying to file for those grants. It's about almost every department we have has played a role in all of that. So fingers crossed. I mean, I really think these are Hurricane Sally dollars, post-Hurricane Sally. There's a lot in play here, and we've worked really, really hard as a city to try to get these done. So again, fingers crossed, we'll see. Hopefully we'll hear something this week, if not next week at the latest, I would think.
Very good. 7:45. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reed. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Not showing any slowdowns or anything right now. Looks like everything is clear. 98 clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any delays. Graffiti Bridge, that area is clear right now. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor Reeves. Any update on the skate park rules, lighting, hours, any development there? I mean, are things, and maybe it's just a case of things are going well, so why tinker with it? But you tell me.
Yeah, no, good question. We actually had a meeting, myself and our interim Parks and Rec director, Tommy Bird, and I maintain with our team the same thing me and you have talked about, which is if we had rules posted that were going to be very, very difficult for us to enforce, let's not have that happen again.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that what we do change is going to be things that the day we change it, that we can enforce it and have it run well. After a lot of conversations, I've kind of moved off the operating idea for now, or an operator.
Oh, okay.
To be honest with you, we haven't heard many complaints. Seems to maybe that we're kind of getting in a groove. And one of the cool things about it is the skate park kind of takes care of itself, you know.
Well, that was the goal. That's great.
The blowers in the morning and so we're letting it evolve, but I would say some of the fundamental things, we're going to get some more benches out there. We're going to close it at 10 o'clock. And then we'll also have the lights, cut at that time. And then we'll have someone out there just to kind of manage it those first 60 or 90 days or so, just to, make sure that we all kind of get into that habit. But for the most part, we've got about 8 or 9 different things that aren't all just rules. Maybe a couple of those are rules, the time and the plastic pegs on bikes and the things like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's really just things to help enhance. Like, for example, if someone wants to teach classes there, that's great. We want to encourage that, but we'd love to, have their name and make sure they have insurance and those kinds of things. And now you got another advocate for the park, And so, this is a growing process for all of us, but we are in pretty short order. We're going to be putting a couple of these new modifications to rules in place, getting new rules posted, and I would say probably within the next 30 days.
Well, that's great. And sometimes you just let a thing be what it's going to be, and then you find out, as opposed to what you think in advance, what's the real shape of the problem, if there really are problems, right? So that's great, the idea that there's policing mm-hmm. themselves. Obviously you, went through, we've got the sign, the welcome sign has been revealed, the street sweeper naming that was done mm-hmm. to big success. I saw Sweepy McSweep face last night when I was down at the fireworks. I just have this Good. Question, and Graffiti Bridge, I think these are kind of three projects that all kind of hang in the same space of like entertaining, public works, getting people engaged, solving a problem, kind of all of that. My question is, what did you learn about Pensacola? Let's just take one of these examples from the street sweeper naming process. What did you learn about Pensacola in this?
Well, really a couple things, and it's really the same in private business, is that, people like to be part of the solution. People want to be included, and back to my 80-20 rule, 20% of people aren't going to like something, or they aren't, but But we were pleasantly surprised between the welcome sign and the names that of how little kickback or negative feedback we had gotten.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare with contests like this. But I don't know, put my old private business hat on. Like, what does the customer see, and how do you want to engage them as an experience? And make no mistake, these things make things harder for us, right, at the city. I mean, there's more complexity. How are we going to do this? And then how do we communicate it? And, that's a lot of time and bandwidth that's being used to do it. But I just always believe it's worth it. And the welcome sign, a perfect example, the street sweepers and, 6,000 names and thousands of submissions and people talking about it. And the funniest part is, we have our awesome crew that drives these street sweepers. And now they're driving by and people are taking photos of, I was like, this is probably going to take a little while to get used to. This has not happened before. They're now becoming celebrity drivers out there on the street. So,
that's great. That's got to be a plus for job satisfaction, kind of position retention. I mean, all of that. That's so cool. I love that.
I did that last week.
Yeah.
So, right.
At the end of the day, look, I think, sometimes it's just worth the extra effort, and we won't always get it right. But at the end of the day, if the end product is that the citizen feels more engaged and they feel more of a sense of ownership towards some of these things that we do, whether it's a sign or a street sweeper, or the graffiti bridge, then I just think that's a great thing, and it's worth that time and it's worth that bandwidth.
No, I agree. I think there's a great PR things for the city, and just as you say, producing engagement and a feeling of ownership for it. All right, the lightning round. I try to ask you a few quick, fun questions at the end of every interview. If you're going down the Blackwater River or any other river, are you kayaking, canoeing, tubing, or just swimming?
Tubing.
Tubing. Yeah,
tubing.
All right, my man. That's
tube.
Right.
Tubing,
yeah, tell Candy she doesn't know what she's talking about. Do you have a favorite patriotic movie that you would have been watching yesterday or would often watch to like amp up your Go America kind of spirit?
No, I just, I turn on WrestleMania 3.
Now you're back in Candy's good graces. That's well done. And last one is people do all kinds of like substitutes for swearing, son of a biscuit, Shazbot, Knights of Columbus, murder. Do you have a go-to fake swear?
I didn't know you were allowed to substitute those things. Now that I know that. No.
Yeah, it's like BK. You can have it your way right away.
I can work on employee engagement in the office. Yeah, a little bit better on that too, I guess.
All right, Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. I look forward to the press conference today and, of course, talking to you again next week, sir. As always, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great rest of your week.
752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're working on a hardware project of any kind, Pensacola Hardware is the place to go. Not just to get your stuff, but also to ask for advice. Like, they really are the experts on this stuff. And, that's true whether you're just a home repair, doing one thing on your honey-do list this weekend, or if you build houses for a living and you need supplies or you need advice or you've run into a problem or whatever. And the thing is, they'll take care of you today. Like, they will help you today. They're not going to make you wait for the thing. They'll have it in stock. They'll know how to install it. They'll know what the code is. They'll probably know the inspectors and kind of talk you through it. So if you run into problems building houses or, again, just home improvement stuff, they know. They can help. And especially if you build homes, that's kind of their bread and butter. They've been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 172 years, since 1851, the oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com. New South proud!
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
It's the 2023 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach, and you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team, plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWhorter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Bobby Likas Auto Service, Cannell & Company Realty, Doug's Auto Supply, and Pro Health. Be sure to bring your radio to the beach to hear the Blue Angels on
News Radio 92.3.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Maverick, you just did an incredibly brave thing. What you should have done was land your plane.
Hello. Hello again.
Man, I'm having friends that are sending me in pictures and notices that the Blue Angels are doing their circle and arrival at the beach. So very cool. Somebody texts in. I step out my door here. Blue Angels overhead. Hashtag instant pride. Oh, love it. Love it. And then, of course, you know, the practice for the Blues is tomorrow at 2 on the beach, and then which you can watch. You know, you won't see the civilian acts tomorrow, but you will see the Blue Angels do their regular practice as they do when they're on show. So the way they do this is, they treat the beach show the way they would treat going to any location. So they have a whole routine of what they go through over the course of the days. Wednesday is they come in and they see their visual checkpoints and make sure everything is laid out the way they know it's supposed to be. And then they get it cemented in their brain. That's how it works. And then Thursday they do a dry run through as if. And then on Friday here in this particular case, we have all the civilian acts from noon to 2. And then the Blues fly at 2 with Fat Albert. And then on Saturday, of course, same thing that, you know, except it's going to be absolutely packed at the beach. And, of course, we will be out there. I'll be broadcasting with Tammy Martin from 11 to 12 and then with Greg McWhorter from noon to 2. And then we carry the Blue Angels narration and music from 2 until they complete, which is usually around 2:45. So it's going to be a great thing this weekend. But, yeah, no, it's good to have them into their groove this morning. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, as we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays, or we weren't. There's one in Navarre now. It's Alfred Boulevard and Citrus Drive. Showing an accident, not showing a roadblock. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's been a lot of travel over the 4th of July extended holiday weekend. Now it's over. Everybody's headed home, or they're trying to get there anyway.
The biggest message is pack your patience, get to the airport as early as possible, watch the weather, be as proactive as possible.
That is Paul Hartshorn with the Association of Professional Flight Attendants. Apparently bad weather and Canadian wildfires have combined to make travel interesting with thousands of delays and hundreds of cancellations. I did check the Pensacola airport website. Didn't look like there was any major issues there. The Texas man that shot up an El Paso Walmart in 2019 back in court. Sentencing starting today for Patrick Crucius. He pled guilty to murdering 23 people and injuring dozens more. And he's facing a possibility of 90 consecutive life sentences. And authorities in Santa Rosa, California, on the lookout for a Humvee stolen from the National Guard Armory there in Santa Rosa. Police say somebody broke into the armory Monday night, drove off in the Humvee, and smashed through the gate on the way out.
Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I will say this. The one thing I failed to ask the mayor this, I should have. FDOT missed an opportunity yesterday to have the bridge lit up, red, white, and blue. I don't know. I'm guessing it's because it's not official yet. Like, it's not been officially, you know, open as the General Chappie Japes fully functional and handed off. But bummer. I was really looking forward to that. It would have been a perfect time to debut the lights.
Well, we'll look forward to it next year.
Traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.